When I was based at the Army Training Center in Pirbright, the instructors there would make an effort to reassure the newly arrived recruits. They recognized that the recruits were nervous and that they had entered into an unknown territory. They saw that the recruits wanted to change, but they were unsure about how to go about it. The corporals would explain to them that there is no such thing as a stupid question. You cannot be blamed for knowing what you do not know and haven't yet been taught. This was very noble of the corporals, and I believe sincere and heartfelt. But of course, the moment a recruit actually asked a stupid question, then they would of course be reminded just how stupid that question was indeed. I think we can be the same way, perhaps. Sometimes we want to know something, but we're unsure about how we go about asking it. I'm dyslexic, and often I'm unsure of the spellings for even the simplest of words. Sometimes even words autocorrect hasn't got a clue of what I'm trying to type in. And in these moments, I go to the one place where I cannot be judged: Google. In our gospel reading, we heard about Nicodemus traveling to Jesus to ask some questions. Unfortunately for Nicodemus, Google had not yet been invented. And so what does he have to do? He travels to Jesus at night. Likely, he chose to do so in order to avoid being seen by others. He was a well-known and respected Jewish teacher, a leader, a Pharisee, and a member of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish supreme ruling body of the time. Most likely, he didn't want people to know that he'd been speaking with Jesus. He wasn't even sure what he thought himself, and so he didn't want to have to worry about what others would think of him also. Like those new recruits, Nicodemus was wanting to change. He just didn't know how. Perhaps to avoid asking a stupid question, Nicodemus starts instead with a statement. "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can perform the signs that you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus then answers the question that Nicodemus hadn't even asked, but it was the one that he was thinking: "How can I change?" Jesus tells Nicodemus, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." At this, Nicodemus is confused, and so Jesus elaborates further. To be spiritually transformed is a process similar to birth. So Jesus says, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at me saying, you must be born again." Over the years, many have wondered what exactly Jesus is getting at here, and many theories have been given for what it means to be born of water and the Spirit. Some have seen the link between water and cleansing and the waters of baptism, which I am sure is not accidental. But what seems most likely here is the waters refers to the waters of birth. We are born once physically, as our mothers give birth to us. As Jesus said, flesh gives birth to flesh. And we are born again by the Holy Spirit, as we are spiritually renewed. What is interesting about our physical birth is that we did not choose to be born. When we were in our mother's wombs, we were in darkness, but we were comfortable. We didn't want to change. We didn't even know such a thing was possible. We had not yet seen light. But then we were born, a scary, dramatic process, leaving behind all we knew as we emerged into the unknown. This analogy fits well with what it means to be spiritually reborn. At Christmas time, we heard those words from the prophet Isaiah foretelling Jesus: "The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light." Before, we were in darkness, unaware of God's kingdom. But that changes once we come to Jesus, the light of the world. Our eyes then become open and we experience new life. In darkness, we can hide. It's a place of shame and regret. Like Nicodemus sneaking around at night to find Jesus so that nobody would see him. But Jesus frees us from the darkness. Jesus goes on to tell Nicodemus, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the man must be lifted up, that anyone who believes may have eternal life in him. Here Jesus takes Nicodemus back to Moses and the books of the law. The people of Israel were afflicted by snakes. Moses was commanded to lift a bronze snake into the air, that those who looked upon it would not perish. And here Jesus is saying that he is the fulfillment of all of that. All of us who are afflicted, which is each one of us, needs only to look upon Jesus who was lifted upon the cross, and there we can find salvation. And so we come to that most famous verse of the Bible, a verse that is often shared away from its context as told to Nicodemus, but it is a verse that stands on its own. Martin Luther famously said of this verse that it's the gospel in miniature. It is the most well-known verse of the New Testament for good reason. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world. At the start is God's love, his love for the world that he made and his love for each one of us. It was his love that motivates him to send his Son, a gift to us. He gave his one and only Son, knowing he would die upon the cross, but knowing that in doing so we may be able to turn to Jesus who was lifted up on that cross, and so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. The spiritual transformation, being born of the Spirit, is different to our earthly birth. Here we find words of belief. We have a choice to turn towards Jesus, a choice to leave a comfortable world of darkness and to step into the light of Christ. My youngest daughter, Adelina, is a very special little girl and unique in many ways, which I'm sure as you've gotten to know her, and she's not here this morning, but as you've gotten to know her, you would have seen. She's one of the only a few children in this country who was taken from the safety of the womb twice. At 25 weeks into the pregnancy, Heidi underwent a surgery similar to a C-section. They cut her open and brought out Lena, and then the surgeons placed the nerve endings back into her spinal cord, stitched up the womb using a skin graft, and then they topped up the womb back up with an artificial fluid, sewed it shut again, and then after a few days of rest, sent Heidi away home for the remainder of the pregnancy. It was then 7 weeks later that Lena got to see the world of light again when she was born. For the rest of us, though, we only get one physical birth. We only get to go once from that world of darkness to the world of light. But being reborn spiritually is slightly different. Because not only is there a single moment as we are saved from light to darkness, but we also go on growing spiritually. Each day we can choose to look upon Jesus and find ourselves being renewed and becoming more Christ-like. And when we think about what lies ahead of beyond this life, then we can have confidence of everlasting life in Christ's kingdom. And so therefore we have been saved, we are being saved, and we know that we will be saved. Amen.